Adidas, it means hip hop. Okay? It's well understood the way it could happen, right? You take a look at an object model, you take a look at a database model, and look, you know, the diagrams look the same. You're going to have to be able to pull them together in some kind of way. But the problem is that the Java application is responsible for running your information. It doesn't want all the database hanging out in memory, right? It just wants the stuff it needs to know about and let the other stuff hang out in the database. So the object relational mapping problem is not so much how do I take an object and turn it into a table in a database, or how do I take a table and turn it into an object in my object model. The more complicated question is how do I manage the transition of objects in and out of memory and into and out of the database in a way that's efficient, transacted to make sure I've got consistency of data, and secure. That is what object relational mapping is all about. So you've got to start asking a question, well, where do I start? Is it my schema? Is that driving my notion of, I've already invested a huge amount of money to put a lot of business information in my database. Is my schema driving my design for my object model? Object purists would be like, no way. If you're an object developer, you're like, well, you know, I don't relate to a database. Hell, I just want to take my object model and persist it. Maybe I should be using an object database. Maybe I should be using some other way. I'm the one driving the database instruction. I'm sure your DB admins love that kind of attitude, right? So what you'll find is there's always has to strike some kind of balance between the relational world and the object world. And that balance involves understanding what happens when I instantiate an object that's supposed to be persisted. Do I load immediately or do I load on demand? Do I go ahead and load all the objects this guy's related to, or just the nearest objects, or the most frequent objects? Or do I actually load in advance of someone accessing me, just in case they're going to need this piece of information? Okay? So I've got to start understanding not only about how the objects exist and how they're related to the instance data, but how they're loaded, how they're instantiated, how they're related to one another, and also what happens when I'm looking for objects. Relational databases are great at doing searches. Select statements, great. Come back really fast, return thousands of rows. You want to return 1,000 objects just because you wanted to look for one of them? That's an expensive operation, okay? So the differences between query languages in the relational world and query languages in the object world have led to some, interesting developments. How many of you guys have written EJBQL? Was it fun? Yeah, right. Yeah. Okay? The problem is when I want to do my queries across an object hierarchy, I'm thinking like objects. And that does not always translate easily into queries across relational systems. Okay? So, and in particular, the results you get from a relational query do not translate easily into object systems. So there's actually a lot of complexity. And we haven't even started talking about what is the best transactional practice. That depends upon what the load use is against the database, what the object model you have is, and what the database is that you're using. So, and what sort of transactional invariance or violations you're willing to tolerate, right? So there's a lot of complexity here. So enemy EJBs, we've obviously already talked about them a little bit earlier, but they have tried really hard to solve some of these problems, okay? And they just kind of got hamstrung from a slow start. So for example, in enemy beams, 2.0 enemy beams, you've got to make a decision. Are they remote or do they got a local interface? And then after you've made the decision about whether they're remote or local, then you've actually got to identify all of the additional characteristics of the beam. Make sure you implement the right interfaces. Do the compile step. Oh, don't forget that I actually got to include all the information about the connection properties to the resource I'm contacting as configurable resources in my environment variables for my application tree. And then I've got to remember that I've got to then put in my deployment descriptors all my plans and instructions about how these things should be loaded into memory, run, and executed. And before I do that, I better have an idea about what the potential compliant usage for these means of, otherwise I'm not off to a slow start. I'm going to start building an interface that nobody's going to use. So building a 2.0 MEB can be really a complex process, right? And so the idea is that it was so complex that developers in the open source community decided to try and do it a different way, okay? And that's the secret to open source, right? Secret to open source is the problems open source developers work on are the problems that they're facing in front of them. They like to scratch the itch that's irritating them, right? And if they're having a terrible time doing object relational mapping, then someone will spend some energy in trying to come up with a better way, right? So this meant the open source community started investigating Hojo-based persistence mechanisms, okay? Now, there are multiple approaches to this, okay? For example, there was a grassroots effort for Hojo-based persistence that wound up being generated into a Java community process standard. That's the JDO standard, Java Data Object. That's a Hojo-based persistence mechanism. Somehow that didn't catch on, mostly because application server vendors like BEA and IBM were having a hard time making any money out of it. So the application server vendors were like, they were like banging their fists and, waving their arms and stomping their feet and screaming about how great EJBs were. Despite the limitations that developers were still facing, they're like, look, we've done all this work. EJBs is a standard. Well, it's a standard cooked up amongst a bunch of people from enterprise server vendors, not from the community, right? So the EJB standard started off slow because it was hamstrung by development. It tried to evolve, but its evolution wound up getting uglier and uglier. And then an open source community project started saying, well, look, there's JDO there, but I'm going to go ahead and create another persistence solution. And Hibernate persistence was created, and that's another Hojo-based persistence solution. And then the Hibernate starts saying, well, look, there's other ways to do it. I can put in all my mapping into these configuration files. I'm going to start putting things in objects, relationships, start using plain old Java objects. And then somebody with a little bit of intelligence realized the problems facing the EJB, and actually went and found the technical lead for these Hojo-based persistence branches. So the Hibernate technical lead and the JDO and technical lead, and put them together and said, well, we're going to redo EJB 3, and we're going to need your help, because this Hojo stuff's good. And so EJB 3 is a return from a break with the history of EJBs, the return to this Hojo-based mechanism. And the MEBs in EJB 3 are Hojo-based object relational mappers. Okay? So it's not to say that this is all the same thing. Okay? These are definitely different solutions. And in some sense, they're semi-competing. But they've all influenced each other in the way they're being created. There's a really great blog article that I can let you have if you want afterwards that describes how each of the different technologies wound up influencing one another. So it's actually a genesis of intelligent thought amongst community leaders that's led us to this point. From our perspective today, we're actually going to focus our attention on two pieces. The first is going to be the Hibernate piece, and then the second is going to be the Open Java Persistence API, the Open JPA. Now, as I mentioned earlier, this was a core piece of the Codo persistence engine that BEA acquired when we bought the company Solarmetrics. And what we're doing is we're taking a slice out of that persistence engine and contributing it to the open source community. And it's going to be under this project name, Open JPA. And it's going to become an open source implementation for the EJB 3 standard, including EJB 3 MEB. Okay? Alright, so let's start off talking about Hibernate. So remember that the persistence engine is the thing that's communicated to from the business team.